praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to share for a little, and then we'll have breaking of bread. So let's just commit this time of the ministry of the word to the Lord. Father, we thank you for your goodness, your grace. Lord, we thank you for the testimonies we have heard this morning, Lord. Testimonies of your intervention in the lives of people, Lord. We thank you, God, for the closer walk that you have given to those who have shared this morning. We thank you for the revelation of your love that you have given, Lord. We thank you, God, for the salvation that people have come into. Lord, we thank you for the deliverance, O God, that has been wrought because of your very presence. And Father God, as we continue, Lord, I pray, might continue to reveal yourself to us even through the ministry of your word. Father, we pray that our hearts, O God, will be open to receive this in word that can change and transform us. And Lord, even through the ministry of your word, may there be faith in our hearts to receive it. And Lord, may you be glorified. Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, and amen. So it's Thanksgiving coming up, so I thought I'd take a break from our series and share a little bit about Thanksgiving. This is something that we all perhaps already know, so it's basically just an exhortation and encouragement. I want to read first from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5, and I'm going to start at verse 15. Paul says, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else. Be joyful always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So Paul lists several things there as he's ending this letter. And one of the things he says is, don't pay back wrong for wrong. So the assumption here is that people in the church would have experienced wrong. And the natural tendency when people experience wrong is to want to retaliate. And Paul is like, no, that's not how you're supposed to do it. Don't return wrong for wrong. But always try to be kind to each other. In other words, people wrong you and you do kind acts to them. And in the midst of that, he's saying, be joyful. Be joyful always. Because we already know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so we can release that joy into our lives, and we should at all times. But then he says here in verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. Many times, if you're like me, you want to know God's will. What is God's will? Things are going chaotic. Things are crazy. Everything is falling apart. What is God's will? And Paul says, well, start by giving thanks. It's always God's will to give thanks. Can you imagine that? It's always God's will to give thanks, not for the circumstances. God is not saying give thanks for bad things. He's not saying give thanks because somebody's diagnosed with cancer. He's not saying give thanks because somebody's house gets burnt down. No, he's not saying that. But he's saying, and in the midst of all of that, there are many things for which we can give thanks. So many things that we can look at and give God thanks for. So rather than focusing on the tragedy, rather than focusing on the negative, he says, no, focus on the positive. Focus on the good things that God is doing and give him thanks. You see, when I got this revelation, it transformed my life. So much so that it's natural for me to declare how good God is. Irrespective of what's happening all around me, God is still good. As Tori tried to help us to declare again, there's always good things that God is doing in the midst of all of the difficulties that people might experience, that you might experience, that I might experience. So in all of these circumstances, well, I don't have to wait until I get a raise in salary. I don't have to wait until I get some good report to give thanks. He says, no. In all circumstances, give thanks. Why? This is God's will. Second, Philippians chapter 2, verses 13 through 16. This is what Paul says to the Philippian church. And Paul is writing to them from prison. For it is God who works in you, verse 13 of chapter 2, to will and to act according to his good purpose. Verse 14. Do everything without complaining or arguing. I mean, that's tough. I wonder if that's really there. Do what? Everything. I mean, Paul, come on, Paul. I mean, don't you really mean that? We should really reinterpret this, right? And he really means do most things without complaining and arguing. Now, he couldn't really mean do everything. Perhaps I need to look up the Greek. But he says to do everything without complaining or arguing. It sounds to me that God doesn't like complaining. It sounds to me like he doesn't like arguing and grumbling. In fact, he actually destroys one of the people in the wilderness for grumbling. But yet still our society and the way many of us were brought up, it seems natural for us to complain and to grumble. And he gives a reason why. Verse 15, so you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault, in a crooked and depraved generation in which you shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life, in order I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for nothing. So when he says do everything, he's not just talking about Christian stuff. You know, he's not just talking about doing things in the church and serving him. He's not just talking about that, what we call, you know, ministry or spiritual things. Or no, because he's talking about being, looking a certain way in this perverse and crooked world. So he's talking about then even in the secular arena, even on the job, even at school, even wherever you are, he's saying do everything without complaining and arguing. Now it becomes even more challenging. Because, I mean, if it was just in the church, it'd be easy, you know. But he said, no, even at work, do everything without complaining or grumbling. Because it gives forth a certain negative attitude, a certain negative, quote-unquote, vibe. And so Paul is saying, no. If you want to shine forth as light, if you want to be a testimony, if you want to have an open avenue to share the goodness of God into the lives of people, then do everything really without complaining or grumbling. In other words, in everything, give thanks. Yes, they might be taking advantage of you on the job, but thank God you still have a job. Yeah. So when others look on and like, how come you're not complaining? Well, you know what? I'm thankful for the job. I'm thankful that God is still at work in my life. You know what? This job is not actually meeting my needs. It is God who's meeting my needs. According to his riches in glory. I'm just here. This is my station where I can witness. This is my station for my mission. And so when we have a change in our perspective, it becomes easier. Now, Paul is not saying that there are times when we need to find a way to correct injustice. He's not talking about that, but he's talking about a certain attitude of grumbling and complaining. You know, everything you just grumble and complain like some teenagers. I couldn't do it when I was growing up because my parents didn't tolerate such things. But nowadays, if parents act like my parents did, they perhaps end up in prison or jail. So you have a lot more grumbling and complaining being allowed. But the Bible says, don't function that way. Don't develop this attitude of grumbling and complaining. Every little thing you grumble and complain. Rather, I believe Paul wants us to give thanks. You don't believe me? Colossians chapter 3. Verse 13, he says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you are called to peace, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. Verse 17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So again, he repeats it. He says, in whatever you do, rather than grumbling and complaining, do everything in the name of Jesus Christ and give God thanks. So it's possible then for you and for me to live a life where no matter what is happening around us, we give God thanks. No matter what is happening around us, we work and serve and speak as unto the Lord. Lord, I thank you. You're the one who placed me here. Lord, I thank you. You're the one who wants to use me to touch the lives of these people all around me. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. And so thankfulness is a prescribed attitude for Christians. How many rather be around a thankful person than a grumbling person? I mean, some people, as you see them coming, you're like, oh no. Another complaint, another grumbling. I hope there's nobody here that you're that person when they see you coming, they're like, oh. I hope when they see you coming, they're like, ah, I need somebody to encourage me this morning. Knowing that you will always find some reason to give thanks. So Paul lists several reasons why we should be thankful. I put here in the notes, thankful for the salvation we have in Christ. Paul is many times writing from prison, and he's saying to like the Colossians, I give God thanks always for you. I give God thanks that he says about himself, about the salvation he has found in Christ. And every one of us who know Christ can always give God thanks for our salvation. We can always reflect upon what God has done in our life and is doing in our life and give God thanks. Psalm 107 is a psalm that I have come to love. Psalm 107 from verse 13. The psalmist says, some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. The psalmist is talking about people who rebel against God, do their own thing, and he calls them fools. And most of us understand that. If you rebel against God's word, it's not smart. You're not wise. You're just a fool. Not my words, the words of the Bible. And because of that, they suffered affliction and ended up with all manner of problems. Verse 18, they loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Because of their rebellious ways, they end up in circumstances, end up with sickness, all manner of stuff, and they draw close to death. And in the midst of that, it says in verse 19, they cried to the Lord in their trouble. And God is such a loving God, a merciful God, a kind God. It says, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them and rescued them from the grave. They were at death's door when they cried out to God. And God sent his word and healed them. And so the psalmist says, let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. That message of God's love keep coming forth this morning. Give God thanks for his unfailing love, his never-ending love, and for his wonderful deeds. Let them sacrifice thanks offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. So when God has done stuff in our life, the psalmist encourages us to give God thanks and to do it joyfully, to rejoice. Let the world know how good God has been to you. Don't allow the devil to intimidate you and tell you, well, if you keep talking about it, next thing things get worse. Rebuke the devil and declare the goodness of Almighty God. Thankfulness tells us how we ought to actually approach God. It's part of the next section they talked about. It's part of the divine protocol. But the psalmist says to enter his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's how we ought to approach God. So it's not by human design that we start our meetings with worship. No, this is how God wants us to start our time with him. It's to come before his presence with thanksgiving and into his courts of praise. That's how we ought to approach God. We're so thankful for what he has done that we can't wait to get into his presence to tell him thanks. In Philippians 4, when Paul is encouraging the church, and he says that be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication, he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord. And so thanksgiving is just part of how we are to function. It's part of the protocol approaching God. You start with thanksgiving, you end with thanksgiving. Because when you end with thanksgiving, the way of saying to the Lord, I know you've already answered and I'm receiving your answer. I've found that people who are thankful, it's easier for me to give them more. My kids are thankful, it's easier for me to want to give them more. But when they are ungrateful, it's like you want to wait a little bit until they realize that what they're receiving is a gift and they need to be thankful. And I think that happens to many of us sometimes as Christians, in that God does so much for us and we don't end up being as thankful as we should. So the Lord is like, okay, let me just wait a little bit to see if they'll turn to me with thanksgiving. What a good God we serve. So Philippians 4 tells us that when we approach the Lord with thankfulness and with thanksgiving, when there are situations where we could be anxious and we bring it to the Lord, he releases divine peace. You look at the circumstances and look dismal and you say, you know what? I'm going to turn my eyes away from the circumstances and I'm going to start to thank God for what he has done. Lord, you have been so faithful, you have been so good, you have always met my needs. And suddenly you realize, you know, those circumstances, they're not as big as they appeared before. It changes how we see things. And as we start to give God thanks, somehow his divine peace is released into our hearts. And we realize, you know what? If he did this before, he will do it again. That same God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your victories. And Paul says that this peace will guard our hearts and our minds. So, I don't know if you're getting the glimpse here. So you have negative circumstances. And Paul says, in all those circumstances, be thankful. Don't worry about those. Just thank God for the good things he's already done. Don't bother grumble and complain. Just give God thanks. And as you give God thanks and you let the Lord know, so this, you know, there are some circumstances here, but you're not bringing it to the Lord, that type of attitude of grumbling and complaining. You're just saying, Lord, I thank you. Jesus said when he was about to raise Lazarus, Lord, I thank you, hear me always. And so as you do that, suddenly the circumstances don't look as intimidating and you now have peace of God and it changes your whole focus. It changes the way you look at things. And it releases God to do miracles. Thanksgiving really is a powerful weapon against the enemy. Because when we give thanks, we actually end up testifying about God's goodness and God's grace. Revelations 12:11 says, they overcame him by what? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimonies. You see? So thanksgiving is a form of a testimony of God's goodness. And it silences the enemy because you're saying to the enemy, God did this before and he's going to do it again. A year ago, you know, my wife and I, we were facing a financial challenge. My wife's job was coming to an end, came to an end in December. And we knew it was coming, we knew months before, so she had to look for a job. But one of the challenges that came with her job coming to an end was in terms of her malpractice insurance. As long as she was with the other employer, the type of malpractice insurance she had would cover her. But the day that she leaves, that insurance comes to an end. And if there's any problem, anybody wants to sue from the last 18.5 years, that company's like, you're no longer covered by us, you're on your own. And so to get around that, they have what they call a malpractice tail. In other words, because our employer bought the cheaper malpractice insurance, to convert it to the more expensive one, which will cover you for basically for life, or whatever period you are with them, it's more expensive. But she's required to have that covered. And when they extrapolate back for the 18.5 years, the total was $28,262 that they would require us to pay within 12 months. I've never had to find so much money at one time in my life. $28,262 or $64, something like that. All because a job comes to an end. And you're not getting any tangible thing, you just know that you're covered. Well, isn't God good? So, the job came to an end December 16th, and the malpractice company required us, gave us 60 days to make a first payment, and they wanted all the money within 12 months. Good thing is, the new company gave my wife a salary advance to try and help with that. So the salary advance covered half of it, so we paid the first half of it in January of this year. And so we still know how to find another $14,162 before the end of November this year. And it meant, of course, you have to tighten your belt and, and live comfortably, but, you have to watch your spending. But in the middle of, well, not even in the middle of the year, a few months after that, our heating and air conditioning unit had to be replaced. Isn't life challenging? I mean, why couldn't it just be so that it need more Freon or something like that? Why do you have to replace everything? But you know what? We just continue to believe God. And we didn't share with any much with anybody, I don't think, because I know you folks are all kind and generous and, you're going to want to bleed and want to help us, and sacrifice. And I'm like, no, this is a God thing. So we keep it between us and the Lord. But you know what? Over the months, God just gave us the resources. And we're able to pay off the second portion, the second $14,162. We did that in September. And we were able to replace our heating and air conditioning unit, brand new stuff that is in there. All because of God's goodness and God's grace. You see, and the devil comes and he says, you don't want to testify. Suppose something else happens. And I said, devil, you're a liar. My God has never failed me, and he never will fail me. Amen. We seek to be faithful in our giving to the Lord. And God has said in his word that he will meet all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And so I want to encourage us this time of the year to still give God thanks no matter what's happening, and to testify of his goodness, of his mercy, of his intervention in your life. There were 10 lepers that got healed, but only one returned in Luke 17 to give God thanks. But that one started shouting from afar, and he was a Samaritan, the Bible says. And he started shouting from afar, and when he came at the feet of Jesus, he threw himself down and gave thanks. And Jesus took note of it. Jesus says, weren't there 10, where are the other 9? And it dawned on me that God pays attention to when we give thanks. It causes him to be delighted in us, that we are gracious enough, we are thankful enough to return to him and say, thank you, Father, thank you, Daddy, for what you have done for me. God wants us to be a thankful people. It's part of our attitude, part of the way we function. The first thing out of our mouth should never be a complaint or a grumbling. Stop blaming government for all sort of stuff. Give God thanks for his goodness and his mercy. Because the truth is, life is good here when you start to look at other places. So stop complaining about government, stop complaining about this, and just give God thanks. He's taking good care of you and good care of me. And so with that, I want us to go into the breaking of bread. And to do it this morning as a celebration of his thanksgiving. Thanking him for salvation, thanking him for his love, thanking him for his mercy, thanking him for his spirit who dwells inside of us. Thanking him for the many miracles he has wrought in your life. The fact that you have breath, the fact that you can be here this morning. Thank him for his mercies that are new to us every single morning. In 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes to the church, and he says in verse 23, I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And so here Jesus is inaugurating the new covenant, and he's saying that the cup represents his blood, which was shed for us, and the bread represents his body, which is broken for us, and we should do it in remembrance of him. And he says, as we do it, we are declaring, we're publicizing, we're proclaiming his death, we're proclaiming what has been accomplished through his death. We're proclaiming, I believe, into the spiritual realm, into the heavenlies. The enemy looks on and he realizes that these people are again celebrating his defeat and their victory. We're proclaiming the fact that through his covenant there's healing. Through his covenant there's deliverance. Through his covenant there's provision. All of these testimonies you have heard this morning, I believe that as we partake, we can believe God, if you have a circumstance that is similar to any one of these, or even if it's not similar, that God will intervene in your circumstance. If you are sick, I believe that as you partake, you can believe God for healing. If you are in financial need, I believe as you partake, you can believe God for supernatural provision. As you open the windows of heaven and meet your need. If you are fearsome and worrying, as you partake, you can have confidence that God takes care of the future. God has your future in his hand. So you don't need to worry about tomorrow. He will guide you and he'll take care of it. And if you're concerned about loved ones outside of Christ, as you partake of it, you can believe God that by his spirit, he'll bring them back into the fold. He'll convict them of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment to come. So this is not just drinking grape juice and eating some unleavened crackers. This represents the body and the blood of Christ. And as we partake of it, spiritual things are released, I believe. That's why in Corinthians, the Lord actually judged the church because they weren't taking this supper in the right way. But when we take it with the attitude of forgiveness and love, we release the Spirit of God to fulfill his will and his purposes in the various circumstances that pertain to us. So I'm going to ask those that those who have been set aside, those who have been asked, to help us with the supper this morning. For your presence with us this morning, Lord, we thank you for the way in which you have ministered to your people. And Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, I pray you might continue to speak to us, continue to minister to our hearts, continue, God, to draw us unto yourself. Father, this week, as different ones of us might interact with family or with friends, Father, may they sense as your presence upon us. Lord, may we not get into arguments and disputes and complaining and grumbling, but Lord, may we instead just have an attitude of thankfulness. Father, may we instead declare how good God is and give thanks. Lord, may we be the first ones to compliment others and to encourage them, oh God, because we're so full of thankfulness. And Father, may we be keenly aware of those who might be hurting, so that, oh God, we can speak a word of healing, a word of encouragement to those who seem to be hurting or those who seem to be isolated, those who seem to be on the fringe. Lord, let us give you thanks again just for turning up and just ministering unto us. And Lord, as we leave here, Lord, let us give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, and amen.